evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Thursday, July 25th, 2019. President Kiir issues a ban on playing the national anthem.
We are seeing now even a minister, even an undersecretary, even a governor or a state minister, whenever there is any function, the national anthem is played. This should be strictly observed because it is not meant for everybody.
And SPLA-IO free more child soldiers.
What we know now, since we are working in South Sudan on this issue of children associated with armed groups, is that most of the children in South Sudan were not armed. They have been kidnapped by the armed groups.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. President Salva Kiir recently issued directives saying South Sudan's national anthem shall only be played at events in which Mr. Kiir is present. But a political analyst says the national anthem should be played at certain events, even in the absence of the president. Onen Walter Solomon has this story for VOA from Juba.
Following last Friday's Council of Ministers meeting, Information Minister Michael Makuei said the President noticed the national anthem was being played at nearly every official function.
We are seeing now even a minister, even an undersecretary, even a governor or a state minister, whenever there is any function, the national anthem is played. This should be strictly observed because it is not meant for everybody.
Political analyst Abraham Kuol, who is also an assistant professor of political science at the University of Juba, says the ministers endorsed President Kiir's directive in order to hold on to their jobs.
This order has been issued this time because I think there are people who want to make the president very happy that the national anthem is only kept for him and it will only be sung for him. That makes the president to be the only icon that is representing the whole national anthem, and in that case, it will make those people to be able maybe to get favors from the president.
Kuol says the ban on playing the national anthem comes as a surprise to the general public. He thinks it is perfectly appropriate to play the national anthem at events where the president is not in attendance.
Like in school assemblies, or when a citizen of South Sudan has done something good, mostly in international arena or abroad at that point. Like mostly when South Sudan is playing football in the World Cup or in other African tournaments.
General Mark Nipoch Obong, former governor of what used to be Western Baragazal State and currently a lawmaker in the Transitional National Legislative Assembly representing the Western Baragazal area, says people have misunderstood the order banning use of national anthem.
It was this parliament that really put and approved the national anthem of the state. It is the pride of the nation. That is why we say, oh God, save South Sudan. And it is normally put on wherever there is an occasion where the president is, and also during matches, international matches, as is normal international, it is also played. And that is what it meant. It is not meant to be little so that it is sung anywhere, no.
The only sentence in the 2011 South Sudan Constitution regarding the national anthem is in Part 1, Article 7, which states, as amended, the flag, emblem, national anthem, coat of arms, public seal, medals, festivals, and commemoration of the state shall be prescribed by law. Rishma Lual, a Juba-based lawyer who works for the rights organization Screen of Rights, says the Council of Ministers should have asked Parliament to pass an act regulating the use of the national anthem.
The Council of Ministers should have not rushed and passed that resolution, and instead what they should have done, establishing a law that will probably be looked into by a professional body or technical team, and thereafter present it to the Parliament for the Parliament to be able to approve of it, and then after that will be taken for the President to sign it into law.
Nyipo says the public should be allowed to hear the national anthem at official events, just as they often see other state symbols like the flag and official coat of arms.
How would people, the children that are growing up, know their national anthem? That's why in schools, every morning when the children are going to school, it is to be said, so that it is part of the life and childhood of their child. I want the people in the public to understand that it is not personalized, that it is the president itself alone that the national anthem should be done. It is the pride of the nation.
Nyipo says whenever the vice president represents the president at a national function or when he receives a foreign dignitary, the national anthem should be played. For VOA News, I am Onan Walter Solomon.
The United Nations Children's Fund, UNICEF, has facilitated the release of more than 30 children linked to the armed SPLA in opposition in Lehr County of Southern Leech State. An official with UNICEF says the children will undergo 3 months of social, psychological support and vocational training as part of reintegration process. Viola Elias has the story for VOA from Juba.
John Sleeby, the head of UNICEF Child Protection Sector, says most of the children freed this week were recruited by armed groups at the start of the renewed conflict in 2016. Libby says after the 3 months support program expires, UNICEF will enroll the children in a 3 years reintegration program because reintegration is a process that takes time for the best results. He says the 32 boys released this week by the SPLM-IO are between the ages of 13 and 17.
We are not speaking anymore about child soldiers. We are speaking about children associated with armed groups. What we know now, since we are working in South Sudan on this issue of children associated with armed groups, is that most of the children in South Sudan were not armed. They have been sort of kidnapped by the armed groups.
Libby says all of the children were in relatively good conditions when the armed groups handed them over to UNICEF and its partners.
Quite good shape. For sure, the best place of a child is with his family, and it should not be, he or her should not be used to cook, to clean, to wash the clothes, to carry the materials for attacks, for war, or things like that. So, it is completely inadequate what they were doing.
Lampol Gabriel, the SPLA-IO military spokesperson, acknowledged the rebel group kept the children in their ranks.
Yes, we have underage children, but it's just because they are under our MCI in our areas of control, not that they join the SPLA-IO. That is one thing I need to make sure you also understand. That if we have some, you know, in Zamera, because I cannot really say we don't have completely, but if we really have some in the movement, because that is due to one reason or the other, those are also will make sure we register them.
Speaking in Arabic, Lehr resident Zakaria Guy says his county has many child soldiers.
I appreciate what UNICEF did in Lehr County. Children, instead of joining armed forces, should go to school because they are the future of South Sudan.
Lehr resident Shol Samuel urges all the armed forces in the area to free child soldiers.
My message to all organized force or army who are still holding children is that it is good that to release our children because they are not really intended to work as soldiers at that age. We need them to go back to their families. We need them to participate in the nation building, because this country is belong to them. I'm urging all the forces in IO, in government, or in other opposition, return or to release all children.
Since the conflict erupted in late 2013, UNICEF has helped facilitate the release of more than 3,000 children from armed groups in South Sudan. UNICEF estimates that 19,000 South Sudanese children have been used by government and rebel forces. For VOA News, I am Viola Elias in Juba.
Still in Juba, some retail traders say they closed down their businesses due to what they call exorbitant taxes charged by the city council and other authorities. The deputy mayor in charge of infrastructure and development says those concerns have reached the council. For more on this story, Lasuba Memo reports from Juba.
On a hot afternoon, tax collectors from the Juba City Council stormed a restaurant in Juba's Konyo Konyo Market on Tuesday, demanding that the owner, who was helping customers, pay 15,000 South Sudanese pounds, or about $50 garbage collection fees and ground rental fees. When the restaurant owner said he didn't have the money on hand and asked the tax collectors escorted by armed police to allow him to pay the following day, the tax collectors ordered him to immediately shut down his business until he pays up. The collectors told him he had 2 hours to find the money and pay. Trader David Loboa used to operate a mobile money transfer service at Juba's Customs Market. He says a few weeks ago he closed one of his branches because the city council demanded he pays an exorbitant amount of money to renew his license.
City council is actually, they are putting out our business. I've already closed the other branch. Because you pay the same money here and that in the other branch you pay the same money. What I have is only 250,000 pounds. This is the only money. And from that one, you see that money which has been taken.
Loboa's license does not expire until August, but he says earlier this month, tax collectors showed up at his business and demanded he pay 55,000 South Sudanese pounds or $192 to renew his license. In addition to license renewals, Loboa says traders must pay 7,000 South Sudanese pounds a year to the State Revenue Authority, even though the authority has never explained how the tax money is used. On top of that, Loboa says traders must pay 108,000 South Sudanese pounds a year for so-called service fees and 3,000 pounds a month for rent and garbage collection. Grace Melling, who sells SIM cards and airtime at Customs Market, says no official has ever explained to traders the exact amount of taxes they are expected to pay.
City Councillor, you may find that there are some government who are coming, that the Revenue Authority, at the same time also they are coming with their charges. We don't understand. License is paid to the government and the state government. But also they say that there are license which are to pay to Revenue Authority. A lot of license that we don't understand, and they are coming up with the receipt.
Grace says she has often been tempted to close altogether due to the intimidation tactics of certain city council members.
Sometimes the business cannot reach to that extent. And they come in a very hassle way. They harass business people in the market. If you say there's no money today, they should wait. They don't want that language of waiting.
Deputy Juba Mayor Tik Mayardit says he is aware of such complaints.
Yes, those concerns have reached us. We said it yesterday, the mayor said it clearly that he has taken note of it and is going to deal with those people if he really gets them. And he told that person, that the one which told him that they took 75 from him and then they give him the receipt of 50, he told him that you bring that receipt to me and then you come and talk to me. So the leadership of Juba City Council have taken note and they are going actually to see into it that this thing cannot happen.
Tik says the council is looking into a complaint brought by a trader yesterday to Mayor Stephen Wani Michael after City Council tax collectors charged him 75,000 South Sudanese pounds for a license fee and issued a receipt of 50,000 South Sudanese pounds. Tik called on traders not to lose hope.
Because we are working so that to improve their life and the way they will do business in South Sudan. There are some of the people which are disturbing them, yes, but now we have taken note. We are very serious.
Thick says next month the city council will announce the number of licenses issued and the amount of revenue collected. He admits there is no unified tax system under which the city council and tax authorities operate in Juba. For VOA News, I am Lasuba Memo in Juba.
tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, the former director for research in the office of President Salva Kiir has formed a new political party. That story is coming up right after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what quality do you like the most about your best friend?
First of all, she's an honest person. She's so social, and she's the type of person that would always be there to listen, would always be there to want to help people.
Being free around her, being myself around her, that's the best quality that I like.
I learn from him every day because he's actually an hardworking person, so I get to learn a lot of things. There's one thing that keeps us going, because most times if I don't gain from you as a friend, I feel you don't have to be around me.
He always encourages me in every situation in my life, mostly when I am down.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011 and we'll get back to you. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus. The former director for research in the office of President Salva Kiir has formed a new political party. Zakaria Pons Bandas says his South Sudan Rescue Front will work towards organizing the people of Western Bahr al-Ghazal. Bandas says the government of South Sudan has marginalized his community in Western Bahr al-Ghazal. He says the new party aims to return South Sudan back to the 10 states.
It seems there is no peace coming forward. And most of the parties being formed or who are now negotiating and discussing peace are all violent parties. They are all with the commanders, generals, and so on. They believe in war. But my party believes in the political work based on the democratic, non-violent, and peaceful principle.
You are saying that you want a peaceful South Sudan and your party is going to work towards that. But
yes,
the experience in South Sudan is most of these political parties are militarized. Every party has a military wing and that is how they survive in South Sudan. How are you going to survive in an environment that is militarized?
I will continue to survive because I will be a non-violent. And I will continue to call for my principle that it is better to have South Sudan with the parties that are not militarized.
Why did you form this party in Khartoum? You're supposed to have formed it in Juba.
Yes, I'm supposed to form it in Juba, but it happened that I came to Khartoum due to my personal reasons. And now I'm called by my people to help them. To help them by... They wanted me to be their leaders, at least during this time. So I said, okay, that is good. If you want me to be your leader, I will do this for you. And this is the idea that I came with, this party.
And
as you know, in Western Bahr al-Ghazal, there is no any party.
So when you say your people, you say you are called by your people, you mean the people of Western Bahr al-Ghazal?
Yes, the community.
And why would you want to be a leader of a particular community?
No, this one, you know, when I tell you that, because even a tree has to be planted in a place. Then after that, the branches will spread to go over to other places. So this one is a seed that is planted in Western Bahr al-Ghazal, but it will spread to the whole South Sudan.
Mr. Zakaria, you are
yes
aware of the situation in South Sudan. This conflict that started in 2013 was a disagreement within the SPLM, and then it became politicized, and then ethnicity got into it, and it has polarized South Sudan until today. Some communities don't see each other eye to eye, and you are proceeding ahead to form a party that is just for your community. Are you not encouraging tribalism?
It is not for my community. It will be for the whole South Sudan. but I have to organize my community. My community are not organized up to now. As you know, when Rizik Zakaria and the rest, when they stress our community, when my people were killed in cold blood in Wau, and they ran away, they couldn't get any leader to lead them. So they went under the umbrella of IO. And now I want to organize them. I want to organize them and bring them under my leadership.
Your issue is because the people of Western Bahr al-Ghazal are not organized, and that's why you came with a political party to organize them and to rally them behind you. You could be accused of encouraging tribalism. How would you react to that?
I have 24 tribes in Western Bahr al-Ghazal, so this is not encouragement of tribalism.
Have you registered this party? And if so, where have you registered it?
No, the party is not yet registered. It has been announced, and we have met with the leadership of our communities here in Khartoum. And I met with them also in the refugee camp around Khartoum and in the border areas of South Sudan, especially in Darfur and so on. And they have gone down to tell our people and to rally them behind this party.
That's Zakaria Ponce Bandas, leader of the newly formed South Sudan Rescue Front. He was speaking to me from Khartoum this past hour. Supporters of Sudan's democracy movement marched Thursday to demand experts and not political parties make up the transitional government to agree on the military council. The demonstration came as the main protest group announced a deal with rebels who had opposed a power-sharing agreement with the Transitional Military Council, which drafted another coup attempt overnight and arrested senior military officers. Naba Mohyadin reports for VOA from Khartoum.
Thousands of protesters took to the streets of Khartoum Thursday, demanding the upcoming transitional government be made of experts, not political parties, and the investigation of attacks during a weeks-long sit-in. Senior member in the Sudanese Professionals Association, Muhammad Adil, says protesters want the ideals of the revolution that led to former President Omar al-Bashir's ouster to be upheld. He says that the demonstration today shows protesters have clear demands due to the Declaration of Freedom and Change Agreement. It's against any power-sharing agreement based on political loyalties and regional political interests, says Adil. The demonstrations began as Sudan's main protest group, the Forces for the Declaration of Freedom and Change, announced an agreement with rebels who had opposed power-sharing deal with the Transitional Military Council. The protest group said it had reached a deal to reconcile their differences with rebels, who are part of the movement but distrust the military. The FDFC said the rebels agreed during meetings in Ethiopia that the transitional government would be responsible for achieving peace. The deal and street action came a day after the TMC, which ousted Bashir, said it thwarted another coup attempt Wednesday and arrested senior military officers close to the former president. While some splits in the democracy movement were repaired, protesters like Ala Yahya worry the military and politicians, not technocrats, will run the government. Despite the agreement with the armed forces in Addis Ababa and the announced attempt to and arrest to gain legitimacy and win the protesters' side, he says, the street will keep pushing on opposition groups until they fulfill all our demands. Sudan's military and opposition coalition last week signed a power-sharing deal on three-year transitional government before elections. Political analyst Al-Fatih Mahmoud says both the opposition movement and the military are trying to consolidate power and gain protesters' trust. He says today's protest to pressure the democracy movement Wednesday arrest the recently signed agreement with armed forces and not yet signed constitutional agreement raised doubts as every party is trying to win the next awaited constitutional agreement. The constitutional declaration is expected to define how much power each side will have and address demands for justice over demonstrators killed during months of protest. Sudan's protests erupted in December over shortages of bread and fuel, then quickly spiraled into calls for Bashir to step down. The military removed Bashir after 3 decades in power and formed a military council to run the country. After weeks of a protester sitting around army headquarters, military troops in June used force to clear demonstrators, killing over 100. Naba Muhyiddin for VOA News, Khartoum.
Hundreds of South Sudanese gathered for the 5th annual South Sudan Unite in Minneapolis, Minnesota over the weekend. One participant says the event has helped her grow her confidence and business. Ayendeng Bior has more from Washington.
2 years ago, Sarah Duku received a phone call that would change the way she saw herself, both personally and professionally. An annual conference called South Sudan Unite, run by the Luol Deng Foundation, needed South Sudanese fashion designers to display their creations for the event's fashion show, and they wanted to feature Duku's clothing. The 22-year-old seamstress who dabbled in sewing hesitated.
They called me a fashion designer, and I didn't see myself as a fashion designer. I didn't see myself as creative or in the art industry. Even when I first came, I didn't know where my life was heading.
Duku, who didn't yet know how to cut clothing patterns, was filled with anxiety.
Are they going to like me? Are they going to judge me? Can they see my scars?
Duku says she reluctantly accepted the invitation. She began designing her pieces, debuting them in 2017 at a South Sudan Unite fashion show, which took place that year in Dallas, Texas.
So that first fashion show that I did really took me in the direction that I am in now, where I'm creating pieces and really sewing and just majoring in opening my own business. So it transformed my life in taking me out of a place where I didn't know where I was heading and giving me a sense of direction, because people believed in me enough to put this label in me and actually believe that I was good. I actually believe that I was good too.
She has since started Duku's Boutique and Tailoring, a home-based startup in Dallas that serves the local South Sudanese diaspora. Her growth is emblematic of the vision behind South Sudan Unite, of inspiring the diaspora to come together and build. While Duku's growth has been positive and relatively direct, the growth of South Sudan Unite has not been as smooth. The December 2013 conflict in South Sudan was the catalyst that created South Sudan Unite, according to Luol Deng Foundation CEO Arek Deng. The conflict led to triple-digit inflation, crippling the economy, and leading to a famine. But conflict was particularly hard on the youth, says Deng. As South Sudan Unite made plans to expand in the United States, the conflict also spread to other parts of the country. But Deng says the Luol Deng Foundation proceeded with plans to grow South Sudan Unite in an attempt to create a platform and a safe space where South Sudanese could address the trauma and begin the healing process.
We thought that the youth would be the driving force to make a change in how we view each other as South Sudanese, and then be able to celebrate all of our cultures.
Duku credits the South Sudan Unite community for her growth as a person. She says she's grown mentally, spiritually, and professionally. Ayendeng Bior, VOA News, Washington.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011 and we'll get back to you. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
And that's our show for this Thursday. We now leave you with the song No More War by Ras Corby.
Just checking up the global scene all over the world right now, seeing Rasta cities. We need a global love, you know, and a global solution, and must be a conclusion. Sure, Rastafari, to stop the war.
No more war in Africa. The people gotta live up to Jah.
No more war in the Middle East.
The people are fighting the peace.
No more war in America.
The people gotta live up to Jah.
No more war in Asia.
We gotta keep it nice and neat, y'all.
Our people suffering around the world today. They're trying to find a solution.
We've been listening to South Sudanese reggae star Ras Corby with the song No More War. I'm John Tanza in Washington. We are glad you are here. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
We tell peace.
Circumstances meet people along the way. They need someone to turn to. Only Jah has the solution. No mankind has it on his own. We were created in the image and the likeness of Jah. Mankind, don't try to fool yourself. Wake up in the morning, you see the sun down, and even times the rain.